Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Our insiders are talking your teams. Sports 1280 New Orleans. Don't wanna
wait till tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Gotta wait. Not just till tomorrow. Gotta wait till Saturday. Big game coming up in Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, Saturday night. Nothing better than two top 10 teams. Look, nothing against the 2:30 CBS games. It's just a little bit more special when it's night in Death Valley. And nobody knows that better than the voice of the LSU Tigers, one Chris Blair, joins us now. Chris, what's going on, man?
Yeah, we are kind of waiting, man. We are waiting. I mean, this week has dragged along just so slowly as everybody's looking forward to it. Although, I imagine later on today, this evening, at least here in Baton Rouge, the tailgate is going to start. So they didn't want to miss it just in case things speed up on them on Saturday.
You did the coach's show last night with Coach O. What's kind of the vibe and the excitement? I mean, it sounded like it was a packed house there last night, and just kind of feels like everybody knows this one's a little bit more special than the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it was packed last night, and you know, again, it's one of the things I've really noticed about Coach O this year, and that is, his calm and collected, confident nature. There wasn't a whole lot of, as you said Monday, he kind of set the tone Monday. There wasn't a whole lot of gimmicks. I mean, he came in and talked about where the strengths are for Florida, where they think they might be able to take advantage of things, and basically said if the Tigers go out and do what we're capable of doing, then you should be okay at the end of the night. So I like his business approach to this game. But for the fans, this is what this is about. So they're having a good time, and I imagine it's going to be pretty rowdy Saturday night around 7:10.
It's funny, Chris, as I kind of dissect the numbers and look at everything. I mean, look, we know who LSU's played so far, and yeah, have they been really, really tested? I mean, the trip to Texas obviously was the toughest test, but you can only play who's in front of you. You can only play who's on your schedule. And to me, when I look at the offensive numbers, it says more about LSU doing what they do, not really who the opponent is. And I think that's what's important for them to do on Saturday night. And that said, man, just what we've seen out of Joe Burrow and this offense with Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger, to me, it's hard for me to see this offense slow down at all, even with the pass rush and the challenges that Florida brings. But, I mean, am I crazy to think that LSU scores at least 30 points here? I mean, last week they scored the fewest points they have this season, and it was 42. So, in my mind, it would just be really hard to see that offense just completely getting bogged down this week.
No, I agree with you. I think it'd be hard. You'd be hard-pressed to imagine where they're shut down. I mean, could they be dropped below their average? Well, you know, that's all possible. I think what's different this year, and I hear the argument everybody talks about, well, they haven't played anybody. They played one good team on the road. Well, Florida hadn't played anybody but one good team at home. So,
right.
It's going to come down to what happens on the field Saturday night. But I think because LSU has been able to do things in a wide variety of ways offensively. And what I mean by that is they've been able to go vertical and stretch the field when they wanted to. They've been able to run high speed, warp speed, high tempo offense up and down the field. Last week they were able to slow it down, not necessarily huddle, but they, you know, took their time, had 41 minutes time of possession in that game, and, you know, ran the football for a season high over 230 yards. So, you know, I think that, you know, yes, Florida's got a great pass rush. They've got great linebackers. They've got a very good secondary. But this isn't a freshman quarterback playing in this environment for the first time when you talk about Joe Burrow. This isn't, you know, really your skill position players on offense. This isn't their first rodeo. I think the offensive line has been underrated. They've had to overcome missing a few guys and not being able to rotate as many. But overall, I think they've done an excellent job. And I think depending on what Todd Grantham, the defensive coordinator from Florida, wants to throw at him, I think what LSU's been able to show this year, and hopefully it'll be able to come to the forefront Saturday night, is that you really got to pick your poison. So it'll be interesting to see, will they try to do four-man rush only? I mean, they only blitzed twice against Auburn last week. But, again, you got a freshman quarterback out there and a team that really had troubles scoring the football. I mean, let's say Auburn's not an offensive juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination. So are they going to blitz? Are they going to bring some more players, which, again, is going to give more opportunities for a group of receivers and running backs to catch the football? To me, it all comes down to not making Joe Burrow stay in the pocket for a long time. There's nothing more frustrating than the last 3 years watching LSU try to run out of the I formation between the tackles, and when that didn't work, go to a play-action pass and have Joe Burrow or Danny Etling drop five steps and look down the field. You cannot do that against the Florida Gators. That's not something offensively we've seen from LSU this year, so I certainly don't expect to see a Saturday night. And if we don't see that, and Joe Burrow can get rid of the football between 2 and 2.5 seconds, I think Florida's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and it's funny because last week, and I think part of it was the coming off the bye week. I think part of it was the early morning start, the 11 a.m. kickoff. But we did see Burrow, I think, for the first time this year, just kind of looked, he was sailing some passes and didn't look as crisp. But I think by the end of the game, everything settled in. They were able to, whatever, he had five touchdowns, and everything was all good. But did you get that vibe that maybe they were a little kind of sleepwalking early in that game last week against Utah State?
Yeah, I guess so, early on. I mean, we mentioned it on the broadcast during the game that the two passes, not counting the interception that was semi-tapped at the line or by a linebacker, but it wasn't a good ball. But there were two passes earlier before that that may have been the worst two throws Joe Burrow has not only made this year, but all his entire two seasons here at LSU. I mean, they were just completely off the mark, one of which it looked like he and the receiver kind of weren't on the same page, which we haven't seen that at all this season. So, you know, okay, maybe they weren't as jacked up to come out and play at 11 a.m. Against Utah State. Hopefully that's what it is. I don't think it's a mechanic issue, obviously. I don't think it's, you know, Joe Burrow has just been lucky throwing the football and completing as many as he has through the first four games of the year and then came on strong late in the game last week. I think they're going to be fired up and focused, zero focused in on the Gators coming up Saturday. And, you know, that's the other thing I love about Joe Burrow is he comes out, has really two bad throws. Another bad throw results in an interception. And then he goes on to have another banner day. And that's why you want a guy like Joe Burrow running your offense.
Yeah, nobody is more critical of him than himself when guy has a banner day and goes, yeah, I think I could have been better. It's just crazy. On the flip side, though, Chris, we've seen Dan Mullen, for some reason, has given Dave Aranda fits at times with his scheme. Last year, we saw it in the Swamp. They started running the option, and it just kind of was keeping the LSU linebackers off tilt. And, you know, I think it was Micah Baskerville had to start in that game as a freshman, and they kind of took advantage of it. In this scenario, it feels like, you know, for the first couple weeks, we were kind of looking at the LSU defense going, man, they're missing a lot of tackles and not as crisp. I thought they cleaned all that up last week against Utah State, playing a really good quarterback in Jordan Love. And, man, they looked way more like the Tiger defense we're used to this past week.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, you know, they made a concerted effort in the off week to practice tackling because they really kept seeing the bad angles and bad footwork going into the tackle, not to mention the inability to wrap up. So I think in the off week, Ed told me they had 126 tackling drills that they went through, and maybe there were one or two missed tackles on the game against Utah State. So, you know, they can't just forget about what they've worked on. They're going to have to tackle well against Florida. But, you know, Dan Mullen, I think, you know, he gets a lot of credit for being an offensive genius and, you know, what he was able to do at Mississippi State so many times, doing more with less, I think is awfully impressive. Now he's down at Florida where he's going to have more at his disposal, but he inherited some guys that weren't necessarily lined up for his style of offense. And you're always going to have a couple of wrinkles thrown in there because he's got an offense, frankly, that's fairly anemic, and they've got to find ways to, A, get the lead and sometimes come up with unique ways to hold on to the lead. You know, Piran last week for that 88-yard run was the longest run since, you know, Emmitt Smith went 96 yards, I believe. Like in, what was it, 1989, 1990, somewhere like that. I mean, it was kind of a phenomenal out-of-the-blue play. Outside of that one 88-yard run, they only had two more runs for more than 10 yards in the game against Auburn.
Right.
They really don't have a running game. Yeah, last year I think that the option, I don't know if it caught Dave Aranda by surprise, but it certainly was something that LSU had a lot of trouble with in that game. And even though it didn't score a lot of points, it just kept LSU's offense on the sidelines as they were able to just keep drives alive and converting and moving the chains. They're not going to be able to do that this week. I mean, Kyle Trask, if they stick with Kyle Trask, I mean, he's obviously a talented quarterback. He's completing about 72% of his balls, and he really won the game last week by throwing the football outside of that one run. But he's not very mobile, so I don't see a lot of option coming out of him. Now, they may go to the younger guy that saw some action while Trask was being tended to in the locker room. But I don't know how many gimmicks that Dan Mullen's going to be able to pull out of the hat based on the personnel he's got, because he's got a very young offensive line that hasn't shown much establishing the run, and his running backs haven't done much of anything, and he's got a semi-mobile quarterback. So, you know, not saying he can't come up with something, but it's hard to see he's going to be able to do or replicate what they did a year ago.
Yeah, it feels like you got to be ready for everything in this one. Fake punts, fake field goals, something that Florida might have to pull out of their bag of tricks to try to get some momentum going. Talking with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. We've had two night games in Death Valley already, but, you know, it was Georgia Southern and Northwestern State. Nothing against those schools, but this one's just a little bit different with a top 10 team coming in. I got to ask, what is your game day tradition, Chris, for a Saturday night in Death Valley? What time do you get up? What's your Saturday going to look like?
Well, this Saturday is not too different from most Saturday night games, but because of the giant magnitude of the game, I'm going to be getting up pretty early. I've got a couple of interviews on the East Coast I've got to do. So what I normally do is I'm up and leave the house and head to the stadium, usually between 10:30 and 11, and that'll be the same. So I've got to get up, do a couple of interviews, I think around 8, 9 o'clock, and then when those are done, I'm going to leave and make sure I'm at the stadium, because I really do like to take in the campus, especially with a night game and a game like this. I don't have any responsibilities, obviously, until around 6:15, 6:30 Saturday night, but I do enjoy just, you know, you can feel it in the air, and there's no campus in America like LSU on a game day with a Saturday night in Death Valley and two top 10 teams. So I don't want to miss the opportunity to be there. Our guys crank up with their programming at 5. I'm usually over there to make sure they don't need anything, and we're up and running with Marlon Favorite, Brandon Taylor, and Hunt Palmer. And then those guys go for 90 minutes, and then I'll eventually, you know, find my way upstairs and get ready for the broadcast in the booth. But yeah, I'm not going to miss it. You know, with college game day there, it's going to be an absolute a circus in a good way. And so I'm going to get there as early as possible, you know, with some prior commitments I've got to take care of.
You got any intel on who the celebrity guest picker will be on game day?
No, it's really interesting. I mean, a lot of times you see this stuff sneak out.
Right.
I'm not sure anybody, but maybe a handful of people, even if it's been decided, maybe one or two people on campus know who it is, and that's it. I mean, everybody around yesterday and earlier today was kind of like, hey, have you heard something? You heard something. And everybody's kind of stunned at the fact that they haven't. So that makes for another important mystery to be revealed on Saturday or maybe sometime later today or Friday. I can't imagine in this day and age of social media they're going to be able to keep it completely under wraps before they start officially promoting it. But you know, there's a ton of candidates to choose from. It'll be interesting to see who it is.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Chris, can't thank you enough for taking some time out, man. I'm sure you got the honey and everything ready. Because look, you've been having to call a lot more touchdowns this year, so got to keep those vocal cords fresh and ready to go for the action on Saturday night. And let our listeners know again. I know you've got the weekly podcast that you've been doing with the opposition play-by-play guy.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting me talk about it, man. It's something I thought of over the summer, and I really wanted to do something different. Everybody's got a podcast. There's about a gazillion of them. And so what I decided I thought I would have fun doing is talking. I usually have a chance to communicate with the opposing team's play-by-play announcer before the game. And I thought, well, why don't I set it up a little more formal? They can give us the very latest that they've got, you know, midweek from their camp, any injury updates, you know, what's been an emphasis from the coaching staff, kind of as close to real-time update scouting report on the opponent as possible. And then I take a little left turn, and we go into how they got where they are, and how they got into broadcasting, and who their heroes were, and what are their habits, what do they do on game day, stuff that I learn and stuff that I think is kind of fascinating. So it's a little bit of football, and it's a little bit of behind-the-scenes, you know, college broadcasting. So This week I had a great conversation with Lee McGriff. Been a long time color analyst on the Gator Sports Network. Was a player there, was a coach there, and now is on the radio. And he gives a really good scouting report on what's really strong for Florida on both sides of the ball and where their weaknesses lie. And a couple of the things he reveals I hadn't really picked up on watching a couple of games this year. So it'll come out later today at 3 o'clock, and you can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it at lsusports.net. I'll tweet out the links for my social accounts. So appreciate you letting me plug it.
Absolutely. Chris, thanks so much for the time, man. Really looking forward to it. And, God, the anxiety's already building. I just want it to be Saturday night already. But thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
You and I both. Looking forward to it. Go Tigers.
Thanks, man. Chris Blair there, the voice of the LSU Tigers. Join us here on this Thursday. And, man, it's the anticipation is building. It's we're ready. As you heard there, he was doing the coach's show with Coach O last night. So it was a packed house there. And everybody's just amped up and get ready for this one, man. And it's the good news is one more day to go. Got to get through today. Then it's Friday. And then game day will be here. It's the Chris Gordy Show. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.